Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
There are a wide variety of strategies that the enemy uses to discourage those of us who belong to Jesus Christ. And they are perhaps as varied as our own individual personalities and our specific circumstances. But one approach that seems to be effective for many of us is a tactic. The tactic of filling our mind with doubt. We question whether God really loves us. We wonder if salvation, if our salvation is real. We wonder if we are secure, forever secure in Christ. So in the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul addresses this concern, a struggle that many people have today. Now, for the first 4 chapters of this letter, Paul has already established the fact that according to God, we are all sinners. We all fall short of the standard of perfection that is required by God in order for us to enter into His kingdom. And Paul tells us that despite what we may have been taught, there is nothing that we can do. There is nothing that can make us good enough, that can make us righteous enough to inherit eternal life. And Paul has made it clear that what we need, what we all need, is a Savior. We all need Christ. Because Christ has met that standard of perfection, the perfection of God. So when we put our faith in Christ, when we believe that He took our sin upon Himself and He died in our place, at the moment that we believe, we have eternal life. It's ours. Forever. But that is where the doubt begins to come in sometimes. That's where it begins to enter our mind. We know Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that salvation is the gift of God. The gift that we receive by faith. But we wonder, how is our salvation preserved? How is it maintained? And is there something that we can do, something that we do not do, that will cause us to lose, to forfeit what we have in Christ? These are questions that the enemy would have us consider so that we might come up with the wrong answer. So, in the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5, the Lord enlightens us so that we might be assured that if we truly belong to Christ, then nothing can separate us from Him. Therefore, Paul says in verse 1, un in Greek, since all that I have said to you is true, since it has been so plainly revealed to us by God that our salvation rests in Christ, in having been justified by faith, dekaio, we have been made right with God by trusting in the work of Christ on the cross. And since we believe that truth, we believe it in our heart, then what follows is something that is truly amazing. Now, we have peace with God. Eirene in Greek. Now there is safety. Now there is security in Him. The barrier that once separated us from Him is gone. The canyon that we could not traverse has been bridged. The division between us and God no longer exists. He has built a bridge. He has established peace through his son. It's settled. It's finished. There is peace. Peace with God. But before we knew Christ, says in James chapter 4, that's not the way that it was. James tells us that we were the friends of this world. We were part of the world system doing what they did. Thinking like they thought, living like they lived. So, it says we were hostile to God. We preferred our own way instead of God's way. We preferred our wickedness instead of the righteousness of God. And as it says in Psalm 7 verse 11, God is enraged. He is furious because of our wickedness. He is angry with the wicked. He is angry with us every day if we do not know Christ. There is no peace for those who do not belong to Jesus. Only a fearful expectation of the judgment of God. The truth is, we were alienated from him. It says that in Colossians 1:21. We were hostile to him, even in our minds. So whether we knew it or not, we were at war with God. And he was at war with us. And who did we think would win that battle? We were children of wrath, children of Satan, it says in John 8:44, who is the enemy of God. Therefore, we were enemies of God. But now, Paul tells us in verse 1, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of his cross, through his sacrifice for us, now the war is over. Through him, we have peace. We've been made clean in his sight. We have been purged of our sin against him. 1 John 1 says that he continues to cleanse us as we confess our sins to him. He cleanses us. He is faithful to cleanse us of our unrighteousness. He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. We have a new relationship with God, a relationship that we never had before. Through Christ, we are at peace with him. Through whom also, Paul tells us in verse 2, we have obtained echo. It's a word that was used to describe a harbor of safety for a ship that was in distress. That is what has happened to us. We're now in that harbor of safety because we are in Christ. We have been given our introduction, Paul says, pro sagoge. We now have access into the presence of God, into his very presence. We can now stand before him, face to face. By faith in Christ, we can come confidently before the throne of grace. No longer in fear. No longer in fear of his wrath. The boundary's been removed. The veil has been torn. Because of us? Because of what we've done? No, because of Christ. We have now entered into his grace, charis, into his blessing. The grace, the blessing, Paul tells us, in which we now stand, histemi, in which we stand firm. How do we stand? We stand firm because of him. Because of him, we are able to stand. The Lord is on our side. Who is able to stand against us if the Lord stands with us? If he delivered up his own son for us, will he not stand with us through the difficulties of this life? In Christ, we are immovable. In Christ, we are unstoppable. And even when we fail, even when we sin, are those sins too great for him to forgive? If we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. He will cleanse us of our unrighteousness. He is the one, we're told in Jude 24, who is able to keep us from stumbling. He's able to keep us from falling away from him. He is the one, we are told, who will cause us to stand in his presence of his glory. Blameless, without blemish, and with great joy, forever. Christ, we are forever his. In him, we forever are safe and secure. And so, we exult, Paul tells us. Kau haomai. We rejoice. We glory. We shout in exultation to him. We no longer have to live in fear. We don't have to live in the uncertainty or in doubt of our eternal destiny. We live in certainty, in stability. We live in hope, it says in verse 2. Elpis. We are confident of the glory of God, of his majesty, of his honor. We are confident that he will complete the work which he has begun in us in Christ. We are confident that someday we will be clothed with his glory, with his righteousness forever. That is our hope. Hope that is steadfast and sure, an anchor for our soul. Though we may be strangers in this world, though we may be rejected, we are citizens of heaven. So we anxiously await our Savior. And those of us who truly belong to Christ will hold fast. We will continue to look to him. Those who belong to him will continue in faith, rejoicing even until the end. And not only this, Paul says, as if this were not enough. Not only are these things true, not only are these things true when things are going well, but they are also true in all of the circumstances of our life. Because peace with God does not bring peace with man. Doesn't bring peace with those around us who do not know Christ. Because we live in a world that's hostile to him. And so now, that world is hostile to us as well. The world only loves its own. But despite the difficulties, Paul says, we also exult. We also rejoice. Even in our tribulations. Philipsis in Greek. When we are pressed up against the wall and the pressure of our afflictions, of the persecution, is almost overwhelming. We rejoice. We rejoice because we know we are still in his care. We belong to him. Even if, for a little while, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, we are called upon to endure various trials. Knowing, it says here in verse 3, oida, understanding, realizing that our tribulation brings about katergazomai, it is accomplishing something. It has a purpose. It has a divine purpose. It is designed to produce perseverance in us. Hupomone. Our tribulation causes us to patiently endure with joy, with confidence in our Lord as He continues to work in our lives, as He continues to mold us, to shape us, to conform us to the image of His Son. And perseverance, as we patiently endure these difficulties, results in something else, Paul says. It results in proven character. Dokime, in Greek. The impurities are squeezed out of us. The dross, the slag, is burned off of us. These things are removed from our lives. Things that dishonor Him. Things that need to go out of our lives. Which can be a long and a painful process for some of us. But one that is not without reward. For those of us who endure, in the end, we will come forth as gold. Because proven character, godly character, when we've been put to the test, when we pass the test, reveals something. What does it reveal? It reveals the truth. It reveals that our hope is in Him. That our hope is in Christ. It reveals that we believe that He alone is worthy. So we entrust ourselves to Him just as Jesus entrusted Himself to His Father in heaven. So in some small way, we enter into the fellowship of His sufferings. In some small way, we share in what our Lord endured. We share in it as we abandon ourselves to God. And we hope in Him. We hope, we rest in Christ. We know that we have nothing in this world. We have nothing except Him. Those around us may disappoint us. We may disappoint them. We may even disappoint ourselves sometimes. But our hope in Christ does not disappoint, it says in verse 5. Kataskuno. When we lean on the Lord, He will not deceive us. He will not abandon us. He will not leave us when things get difficult, but He will sustain us as we stand on the truth of His word and we commit our lives to His care. We can trust Him. Why? Because we're no longer His enemies. We will no longer receive His wrath. We will receive His love. Yes, He loves even you. He loves even me. He loves us with a love that is so great that He sacrificed His own Son in order to bring us to Himself. A mystery. The mystery of the love of God towards us. Agape. Sacrificial love. The kind of love, Paul tells us, that He places within us who belong to him. His love has been poured out, it says. It overflows. It floods our lives from within our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the very Spirit of God who was given to us when we came to know Christ. For only those who are led by the Spirit of God, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, only they are the sons and the daughters of God. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he continues, Spirit of Christ dwelling within him, then that person does not belong to Christ. So, the presence of God, his presence within us, is the evidence that we belong to him. And the evidence that he lives in us, it says in Galatians chapter 5, will be seen by the fruit that he bears in us and through us. A changed heart, a heart that has been changed by Christ, will result in a changed life. And so he bears witness to our spirit that we belong to him. It's an encouragement. It's a blessing. He strengthens us with power through his spirit within us, within the inner man, it says in Ephesians chapter 3. Why? It says so that Christ may richly dwell in us, being rooted and grounded in his love. This is the kind of love that fills our heart when we know Christ. Love that our minds really are unable to fully comprehend, except to some degree by the example of Christ. For while we were still helpless, Paul says in verse 6, asthenes, while we were powerless to help ourselves, while we were powerless to escape death, while we were powerless to escape the judgment of God, while we were too weak, too sinful, at the right time, at a decisive moment in the course of human history, and according to the Word of God, Christ entered into this world, came from the glory of heaven, and he died on a cross for the ungodly. Asebes in Greek. For God haters. For those who do not know God. For those who do not reverence him. That would include all of us, since all of us were enemies of God. We were unrighteous. We were undeserving of his love. For it is true, Paul says in verse 7, that even one of us will hardly, molis, will with difficulty die and give his life even for a righteous man, for a moral individual, for an upright man or woman. That would be difficult, no matter how moral he may be. Though perhaps, he says, for a good man, for an honorable man, for a kind individual, someone would dare, tolmao, we might find someone who's bold enough, someone who is courageous enough, even to die for that kind of man. But God does not see us that way. He doesn't see us as righteous. He doesn't see us as good. He sees us as vile. He sees us as rebellious men and women who have set ourselves against him. But even though that is true, still, He demonstrates. Sunistemi. He proves his own love. He clearly shows his love toward us, eis in Greek, on our behalf. In that, while we were yet sinners, hamartolos in Greek, while we were devoted to wickedness, while we were stained by our sin, Christ died for us. That is the message of salvation. That's the message of the cross. Now, if he would die for us while we were in our worthless condition, hating him, ignoring him, ridiculing him even as his enemies, how much more then, even as amazing as this is, having now been justified and declared innocent by his blood, something that is amazing, but this is even more amazing. Now, we shall be saved, sozo. We shall be rescued from the danger of the wrath of God through him, through Christ. Here is the point, Paul says in verse 10. If while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God. Katalasso. We changed places. Our position was altered. What were we? We were his enemies. Yet, what did he do? He saved us through the death of his son. So, now that we are his children, now that we are his sons and his daughters, how much more will he keep us safe and secure, having already been reconciled to him? Will he let us go now? Now that we are his children? And so, we shall continue to be saved. Not only by his death, but Paul says, by his life. If by his death he brought salvation to us, even when we were his enemies, now that he is alive and seated on his throne in heaven, is he not able to intercede for us who belong to him? Even when we sin? And not only this, Paul says in verse 11, not only this speaks of our safety and our security in Christ, but we also exult in God. We rejoice in him through our Lord Jesus Christ, because now, nun in Greek, at this very moment of time, now we have already received the reconciliation. It's finished. It's ours. It's ours for all time. It's ours for all eternity. What can man do to us? Our strength, our joy, our song, our salvation rests in Christ. And no one can take us away from him. So there is no doubt. There is no fear any longer. We are safe. We are secure. Safe in the arms of Jesus Christ, our Lord, forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.